Good evening and welcome. Just a reminder, we are entering into the period of our devotional message for Sluta, which is to be delivered this evening, and we are blessed again with the presence of Reverend Deacon Pradeep Hatcher, who is a member of St. Gregorio's Orthodox Mission Church of Spokane. And at this time, I invite Samasin to lead us in the devotional message for this evening.
Baruch Mor, grant us, O Lord God, the knowledge of your divine words, and fill us with the understanding of your holy gospel, the richness of your divine gifts, and the endowments of your Holy Spirit. And grant us that with joy we may keep your commandments, perform and fulfill your will, and become worthy of your blessings and mercies from you, our Lord and our God, now and forever. Amen. Timotheans and my sisters and brothers, that we're continuing our discussions centered around the idea of discipleship. The verse that I would like to go through with you today is from the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 3. Again, that is the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. And the unclean spirits, whenever they saw him, fell down before him and cried out, saying, "You are the Son of God." But he sternly warned them that they should not make him known. It's very striking, of course, here that Christ tells people, particularly the demons, to be quiet about his identity as the Son of God. And this is kind of a particularly strong in the Gospel of St. Mark, especially, but of course you see this in other Gospels as well. It's sometimes referred to as the secrecy narrative, this kind of constant happening where Christ says, tell someone to keep quiet about who he truly is. There are many things going on here. One of the reasons that Christ is keeping his true identity secret early on in this gospel, and this is in St. Mark, it even happens before this, before chapter 3, there's already an occurrence of this. One of the reasons that early on this is happening is that Christ's purpose has not yet been fulfilled. Christ's mission is not fulfilled until the passion, death, and the resurrection, of course. So until the cross, Christ still has work to complete. So Christ demands secrecy to prevent any obstacles on his way to the cross. The people knew who he was, such as the apostles. From time to time, they tried to stop him from going to the cross. We can talk about this idea further. This is, of course, one of the main things that's going on here with the secrecy narrative, with this theme. But tonight I wanted to focus on another aspect behind what's going on here when he tells these demons to keep silent. It may seem, of course, a little counterproductive for Christ. After all, he asks us to believe in his good news. It may seem counterproductive for him not to just come out and say, you know, this is who I am, I'm the Son of God, you should believe in me now, this is who I am. But the fact that this is not the way God works here, this is not the way he operates, highlights just how incredible his love is. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. If Christ wants you to render your heart unto him, as Scripture gives us those words, render your heart unto the Lord, he wants you to choose him freely and you to affirm who he is. So when Christ demands that the unclean spirits remain silent, part of what Scripture is telling us here is that Christ leaves the door open for us to search and choose him freely. Rather than hearing about it from somebody else, he wants us to search within us and choose him or reject him. He gives us that freedom. He never forces himself upon us because his love for us is, of course, so perfect that he allows us to choose or reject him freely, to believe in him or not. We have the freedom to believe or to deny him. And hearing about him from others is, of course, very important in our spiritual journey. We cannot go without the testimony of others, and sometimes that can lift us up and inspire us and guide us. But ultimately, the choice to choose or reject Christ and his church is with us. God gives each of us that choice because he loves each of us. He gives each of us a free will. Compare this passage here, where Christ tells the demons or the unclean spirits to remain silent, with another chapter in St. Mark. I'm at chapter 8, verses 27 through 30. St. Mark chapter 8, verses 27 through 30, which reads, "Now Jesus and his disciples went out to the towns of Caesarea Philippi, and on the road he asked his disciples, saying to them, 'Who do men say that I am?' So they answered, 'John the Baptist, but some say Elijah, and others one of the prophets.' He said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?' Peter answered and said to him, 'You are the Christ.' Then he strictly warned them that they should tell no one about him." So we see here a very similar passage, but a very different result. And God's love, again, is perfect. He gives us complete freedom to live as we like, to be perfectly free to believe in him. And if we're perfectly free to choose him, we have to be free to, okay, of course, deny him and reject him and not believe in him. Right? God never forces himself upon us and says, in a way that takes away our free will, "Here I am, believe in me." He always gives us the option of searching for ourselves, of choosing for ourselves. And so here Christ asks St. Peter, "Who do you say that I am?" He offers his love without condition. So rather, again, ultimately, he wants us to discover who he is. He wants us to make that journey rather than allowing others to live it for us. We each have to live and form our love for him. But now, as a disciple of Christ, right, choosing him is not something that happens just once. Right? Our search, our struggle to find him in our broken existence, in this broken world, has to happen throughout our lives until the day we die and beyond, you could say, even. And look at St. Peter, because immediately after St. Peter, in St. Mark chapter 8, affirms, "You are the Son of God," a few verses later, he tries to prevent Christ from going to the cross. He rebukes Christ when Christ talks about his upcoming passion. And then Christ calls him Satan, right, for getting in the way of the cross. Right? So immediately after this moment of clarity, St. Peter falls again. And we all have this. Our moments of clarity are often followed up by more of our own brokenness and our own weakness, right? Because we are struggling throughout this entire life. So discipleship, following our Lord, is a lifelong search and a lifelong struggle. And the emphasis really is on the word struggle there. It's going to be difficult for your entire life. But we have to constantly look in our hearts and ask, what place have I given Christ in my life? Am I choosing him every day, or do I waste the opportunities he gives me every moment to grow closer to him? Because we know he is reaching out to us at every moment. It's up to us to open ourselves up to him reaching out to us. So are we choosing him every day and affirming who he is in our lives and in creation, or is his identity in our lives only what others say about him? As the unclean spirit in Mark chapter 3, who affirm Christ's identity in word only. They're not doing it out of love. They're just saying it because it's a fact and they know it. So it's not enough for us to just be on a parish registry, to be born into a Christian family or to have become Christian through baptism later in life. It's not enough. It's not enough. But we have to search for him and choose him. And as Christ asks us every day, "Who do you say that I am? How am I in your life?" We have to be ready to respond every day. Being a disciple means choosing him and affirming him every day. Just like brushing your teeth, right? You don't brush your teeth just once and then you're good for the rest of your life. At least hopefully not, right? You brush multiple times a day because the bacteria keeps building up. In the same way, we have to constantly renew our relationship and our prayer life, our relationship with God, because our world is constantly taking us away from him. So don't be a bystander and listen to what others say about God and how magnificent he is. Search for yourself as well. Use the tools that he's given you through the church, through prayer, through fasting, through reading scripture. Without those, you can't get to know him, and you can never get to the point that St. Peter gets to when he says, "You are the Son of God. I know that you are." Unto our Lord Jesus Christ be glory, thanks, and blessings for his living words unto us, unto his Father who sent him for our salvation, and to his living and life-giving Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.